Hello and welcome to Cat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. It's been a while. I know it's been a while, and I totally missed a week only because I went to Italy. I had an adventure. It was my private adventure that I've been looking forward to, but also it kind of crept up on me because of everything else that's been happening. And then all of a sudden, I had to pack. Among my regular work and settling in and just having moved. So it was just very unexpected. Like, I knew it was coming, but at the same time, I wasn't ready for it only because of my regular life. You know, like when I booked this flight, I didn't think I would be here where I am, you know, months later. But when it finally came up, I was very, very excited. So today and yesterday, I know that I'm feeling better because I've started baking in my own kitchen for me. And that's always a good sign. I know that because, you know, I bake at work and it's crazy at work. I'll get into that. But when I bake at home, I know I'm starting to feel better because normally if I'm done with baking, I don't want to start in my own kitchen because I do it all day. So I started making sourdough. I've gotten together with my friend and she gave me some of her sourdough starter. I had a sourdough starter. It was like, I don't know, over 20 years old because I mixed it with someone else's. But through everything that happened, it was just sitting in my fridge probably for like 8 months, and I didn't feed it because when I started doing my own farmer's market, I didn't have time for any sourdough. You know, like that was just too much for my brain. So when I moved and I looked at it in my fridge, it was done. I even refreshed it for a week, seeing if it had any more life in it. It did not. So I had to throw it away. And then when I moved to LA, I've been getting together with my friend and we've been cooking and baking. Anyway, she has a sourdough starter and she gave me some of hers. And then she made a chocolate sourdough starter and then she gave me some of that starter. So I currently have my sourdough starter proofing. It's ready to go in the oven. Like it was in the fridge all night because that gives it the good flavor. And it's better if it's cool. And then it's currently in my Benetton, my bread basket. And in about 40 minutes, I'm going to flip it into my Dutch oven and I'm going to bake it. So we'll see how that comes out. But that is a chocolate sourdough. So the difference is when you have a sourdough starter, you make a separate container. And in there you have your sourdough starter, but you add cocoa powder. You'll have to add more water to it only because the cocoa powder dries it out. But it totally works. And I really never thought about it. So then when you bake your bread, it has cocoa in it. You have to add a bit more sugar because the cocoa dries it out. So I added more sugar and it really like blew up. I did want to put like chocolate chips in there. Totally spaced on that because it's 6 a.m. The thing is, I've been having trouble sleeping. My time is off because of my trip to Italy. When I got there, my timing was off too. You know, it takes a few days to get adjusted, and I was only there a week. So it maybe took like 3 days to get adjusted, and then I was good for 3 days, and then I'm here, and now it's taking probably another 3 to 4. So I wake up, like I want to go to bed late, and then I wake up early, and then in the end, I only slept like 6 hours. You know, that's just how it is right now. I'm adjusting. But I know I haven't been recording just, you know, everything going on, right? Like we all work, we're all figuring it out. And on top of that, Italy. And every day I'm like, I need to record. But then I get home from work. And the other day I got home, I was tired. I took a nap. right? I get up at 4 a.m., so I get pretty tired. So I came home, I took a nap thinking, okay, let me just rest for 20 minutes. I wake up 2 hours later thinking, oh, damn, like, I'm not going to record now. So anyway, okay, let me rewind and tell you about Italy, right? The last time I went to Italy was, and I'm trying to think here, I'm not boasting or anything, but I went on a couple of trips. Once when I worked there, and that was after culinary school, that was the end of 2009, and that was over my birthday, and that was like a month period. And then I went back in 2012. I got divorced, right? 2010. It went through 2011. And in that process, I sold my wedding ring set, right? My engagement ring and my wedding ring. Beautiful. I loved it. But what's the point of having something when all these bad memories are behind it? So I sold it as a set. I didn't get enough, at least less than was paid originally. Always the case, right? But I used that money and I used it to do a gelato class in Brescia, Italy. And it was like this awesome trip because when I worked in Italy in 2009, the chef gave me a cookbook of a famous Italian pastry chef. In the back of that book, it says he gives classes, and it gave this address in Brescia, Italy. And I looked it up and I signed up for a class. So the fact that I was able to go was this huge deal. And then when I went, I told the chef the story, and he was so touched that he gave me a binder of all his recipes. Of course, they're all in Italian, but it was a big deal, a huge honor. So the last time I was in Italy was in 2012. Yeah, which I didn't realize was so long ago because the memories have just been so vivid and time has flown by. Don't you hate it when people say that? But it truly has. So I didn't realize it had been so long. And now it's 2025. You know, right? I'm always one to travel. I'll never turn down a reason to travel. And the only reason if I do is, I don't know, if I don't have money. Not that I had money this time, but you know what? I needed it for my own self-adjustment. I needed it for my brain to just move on from everything that's happened, to give me some other things to think about and some other focus. So I worked, and work has been, it's like, I don't even know how to describe it. It is a whirlwind. That's my word. There's no organization. There's not enough people, even though they're not hiring anymore. Like they say they have enough. But now, especially for the holidays, like not enough people. The PARs are high. Like someone got hired just to make tart shells for Thanksgiving and Christmas. They're making over 900 shells. So they have to make over 50 shells a day to have them ready in time, make the dough and all of that. Like nothing's being bought. So they hired someone just for that, to be on time and on schedule. Because then you got to make the filling, you got to bake, all of that. And the PARs are high. There's two locations and we make the desserts for those locations. But it might be like 30 of each. And there's like 10 different desserts. And it seems like, okay, that's not so crazy, but everything is handmade. It's sprayed with like a cocoa spray. You've got all these finishing touches. There's glazes. Everything is a lot of work. And everything is made. Nothing is bought. We're always kind of running behind. You know, we're cutting things the day of when it should have been the day before. And the thing is, we can't cut it the day before because we ran out. You know, but it's so hard to plan because people call out or there's all these other cakes. Like there's these layered cakes. They're beautiful. And it's made with jacquand, like all these special sponges, right, that are super thin, where they're separating eggs, like everything in huge batches, right? So it's not like you're just layering one cake. You're making 10 frames, all right? And each frame has three sponges. So you need 30 sponges. And it's this huge thing. So when we do prep for cakes, which is every day, but it's every day a different cake, you know, it's not this fast thing. So anyway, it's a whirlwind. There's other chefs, CDPs, create drama, you know, gossip, that doesn't help. So anyway, now I have to alternate my schedule so that there's one chef on every day. Like, we're not off together. And I agree, it's better that way. So my days off will change. I was so happy to leave for a week because the job is, it's very stressful. You know, I get in, start at 6, then we prep for everything. Everything has to be ready, all the desserts, at 9:30. Usually it's like 10. On weekends it's like 10:30. Which is bad, but there's less people on the weekends, which is even worse. And then we take a break, like 10:30 to 11. We only get a 30-minute break. I think that's illegal. But, like, okay. And then at 11, you know, if we take our break at 10:30, come back at 11, and then we have till 1:30, like 2.5 hours, technically two, to prep whatever we need to prep. So if that's making 30 sheets of jacquand, if that's making 6 times 24 tiramisus, you know, like, these are just huge batches. So first of all, if you mess up something, you've messed up the entire batch. Like I did that one time when I said I forgot a layer of sponge in one of the cakes. Yeah, like that was a big deal because I messed up like 10 different cakes. It's just these big projects in 2 hours. I mean, it kind of drives you a little bit insane. So that's what I'm dealing with. So my last day before my trip was a Sunday. I get home and I'm like, oh, I'm leaving tomorrow. Like, thank God, I'm flying, you know. And my flight was to Europe, which means that when you fly to Europe, you typically fly in the evening. And you basically don't sleep that night. Like, you sleep on the plane, and then you get to Europe, and it's, I don't know, like 3 p.m. You know, it's your morning, but it's like almost the end of the day there. You know, and then you have to like sleep that night, and the whole thing's like messed up. So Sunday, I start to pack. I think a week before, I picked out what I was going to wear to the wedding, which was a black cherry dress. I did have something more formal, but I was like, should it be that formal? I'm not in the wedding. Let me just wear something that's cute. So it was a black dress with red cherries on it. Anyway, I put a few things out, and then I finally packed it Sunday, and it took me forever. I don't know why it took me so long. Lately, I've been having trouble focusing just on doing things. Like, I feel so sidetracked in my brain, and then work just takes it out of me, that when I get home, I do a bunch of nothing, really. Like, I'll stretch, I'll go outside in the garden, I'll water the plants, which are growing insanely. Like, the plants look amazing. My lemon tree is huge. To think that 3 years ago, it was a tiny branch, and now it's this giant tree, and it's not in soil. It's in this pot, and supposedly after 5 years, a lemon tree gives lemons. So next year, it should. That will be 5 years, I think. But I don't know. There's no bigger pot. And I just have to water it like crazy. Like, it takes so much water to get lemons. I just, as you can tell, I keep getting sidetracked mentally. So the fact that I had to pack a suitcase. You know, I came home, I ate, I look at the phone, I maybe watch something on TV, I start thinking about what I'm going to bring. Like, all of this took forever. Okay, so then I technically just start packing at maybe 6 p.m. You know, and then by the time I'm done, it's like, I don't know, 11 p.m.? I don't know why it took me so long, but you got to think about the toiletries, the makeup, the jewelry, you know, all the underwear you got to bring. Like, I know it sounds weird, but it's complicated for women. We always have to bring more underwear than we think. It's a thing. I don't feel clean unless I've got like two pairs of underwear with me when I travel. A day. I'm talking a day. I don't need two pairs, but you never know. Maybe you just want two pairs, you know? Because when I fly, there's people on planes that stink. I don't know why they stink so badly. And maybe it comes from the underwear. I don't know. But these people are adults and they stink. Okay, I digress. So I finally packed. It was midnight, but I didn't have to fly till the evening. Okay, so I woke up. I took my time. I had an iced coffee. I made toast, right? Like, I've been making my own bread, my sourdough. So I toasted. I just had a nice morning. Okay, and then I was thinking, oh, okay, I need to leave by like 1 because I was taking public transportation. I was thinking about taking the metro, but I'd have to change twice. So that's 3 different lines to get to LAX, and that would take about 1.5 hours, which isn't crazy, you know, because around 1 p.m., just taking a car to the airport can take 45 minutes to 1 hour. So 1.5 hours for public transportation for something that costs $1.75, that's really good. Because let's say if I took an Uber from where I am to LAX, that's $150. Like, I'm not joking on that. So needless to say, I wasn't going to take an Uber. But the day of, I Googled, okay, what's another way if I don't want to take the metro? And then this flyaway came up. It's in Van Nuys. I'm 15 minutes away from Van Nuys. I'm in North Hollywood. It's a bus. It's $25 for one way to LAX. And it's a bus. You go to this place in Van Nuys. It takes about 40 minutes to drive with the bus because then you can go into the other lane, right? The fast lane, the carpool lane. So it's $25 one way and it's direct. I don't have to switch. I'm like, okay, this is fine. This is all I want to deal with. I don't want to be in the subway and pay attention. I'm like, no, I'm going to get this LAX, like, fly away. The thing is, though, I didn't want to park the car there, even though it's cheap. It's like $6 a day. Great price. But I wanted to take the bus because I'm not far away. Even though the bus takes about 30 minutes, but I have a bus stop right outside my door. And nobody walks in LA, right? Like, maybe in the residential areas when people have a dog, but nobody's out walking. So here I am. I have my suitcase. I have my backpack because I'm not checking, right? Everything's carry-on, so everything has a limit. And I always have these bags where I pump the air out, you know, so I can always fit more because I couldn't decide on certain dresses. And I didn't know, is it hot there? Is it cool? Yes, I looked at the weather on the phone, but once you're there, everything's different. So I didn't have like a jacket, you know, I had a cardigan, like some long sleeve things. It's the Mediterranean, right? I'm thinking it's not going to be that cold. And it's hot here. It's hot in LA. So when it's hot places, I don't think, oh, over there it's cold. You know, let me bring a coat. Like, I don't think like that. Like, it's hot here. It'll be fine there. Like, that's what I'm thinking. Weird logic, I know. I walk to the bus stop, wait like 10 minutes, didn't want to miss the bus. The bus takes me, it's like 30 stops to get to that flyaway place. I get there, no issues. The bus leaves to LAX in like 10 minutes. I'm on time. Everything is going smoothly. And I'm excited. Like, at this point, I'm like, yes, I need this trip. Not sure about credit card bills when I come back, but I need this trip. So I get onto the bus. listen to music, feeling good, get to LAX. Everything was so smooth, so fast. And it's maybe like 3 p.m. Okay, my flight doesn't leave till 6 p.m. So I've got 3 hours. I got literally through security in 10 minutes, like super fast. It wasn't crazy. So the thing that's good about LAX, when you fly international, there's a terminal only for international. So super smooth, you know? It's never packed. Like there's things going on, but it's never jam-packed. I mean, maybe it is. I don't know. I'm not always at LAX. But every time I've flown internationally, like when I flew to Switzerland, smooth. I get through security super fast. And then I'm like, oh, you know, I'm kind of hungry. Let me get a salad. I went to P.F. Chang's to get this like Chinese chicken salad. I correct myself. It was not a chicken salad. It was just Chinese salad. I could have added protein, but they made it sound like this huge salad. So I'm like, no, this is fine. But then it's in front of me and it's not that huge. And it wasn't anything great, you know, but I'm like, okay, it's a salad. It's fine. It's light. Because when you fly internationally, you get pretty good meals, like decent meals that are filling. So I didn't need this big meal. Like usually when you fly within the US, you don't get food. So you need like something that's filling. But when you fly internationally, you're good. Like you're set. You don't really need to get food. I eat, I go to the bookstore, I find this book about the history of salt. Super excited about this book. I find salt really interesting. You know, like I have this book about chocolate and bread, and it's one of the most interesting books I own. Like I love it. So I see this book of salt and I'm like, I have to have it, right? Like there's so much about salt. But there is. Okay, but the thing is, I want to read. I like the idea of reading. And I'm thinking, okay, now I take the subway, you know, to get to work. I have a reason to read, but I haven't yet. Okay, I want to. So I need to start bringing my book. It's just so early in the morning, right? It's 5 a.m. And I don't know, do I want to read at 5 a.m.? Instead, I just look at my phone. So I'm thinking, on the plane, I'm going to read this book of salt. But then when I get on the plane, there's all these movies to watch. And then I'm tired and the book gets kind of pushed to the wayside. I have read some of the book. I didn't get through as much as I wanted, but it is very interesting. I'm in the gate, like we're finally boarding. A lot of French people. I haven't seen this many French people in one area in a while. It's been a while. I did go to Paris. When was that? Like 2005? A long time ago. At the gate, I'm flying Air France. So it's all, you know, it's all French people, pretty much. And some Americans. As I'm there, I see a couple. They're arguing in French. And I don't know why I found it so amusing. It's never, like, fun, right? When people argue. I mean, I don't really think it is. But this was so funny to me. I'm just arguing in French. I don't know. It amused me. So I'm just people watching and noticing, oh, like French noses are kind of large. And, you know, I'm just seeing all these things. I'm waiting for the flight. And then they say it's delayed. It was delayed like 30 minutes. And it's originally flying to Paris, and from Paris, it's flying to Naples. Like, I have to switch in Paris. So then they say, the flight is full. You can check your bag for free. You know, basically, they're kind of saying you have to. I mean, in the end, I don't have to. But I'm like, oh, maybe it's better because I don't have to deal with my bag when I'm in Paris, you know, like at the airport. So anyway, I check my bag. I don't like it. Because then I don't see it. You know, I'm like, please arrive. Like praying, please arrive. So I check my bag. We board. I have an aisle seat. And overall, the flight is very pleasant. No issues. It was full. It was very packed. And then when I was sitting on the plane, I was just thinking how much I need this. You know, I need to just do something different, put my mind somewhere else. It's just been weird. moving doesn't change anything. It's just a new scenario with your old brain. You know, like your thoughts and your mind. It's always the same, you know? And I'm not saying keeping busy is the answer, but I just wanted to see something different. And maybe that could take my mind off everything that's happened. You know, when I asked my ex to not call and not text, because he was still doing that and just checking in with me. But then it always made me feel crappy, you know, like wondering, what is he doing? Who is he seeing? Like just your mind goes places. And it's not that I didn't miss him, but if a person doesn't want something, then it's not going to function, right? Like you both have to want the relationship. You both have to want it to go forward, and you have to choose each other every day. And when that stops, okay, like that's it, you know? So it felt weird to me to be on this plane to do this trip. Like it's a big deal to just go to Europe, right? Like I haven't been in a long time, and I found it to be a big deal, like for me, and exciting. So the fact that we weren't talking and I didn't say, oh, I'm going, you know, to this Italian wedding, it just felt weird, you know, to be so close or think that you were so close at one point that you tell each other everything, or at least I did. And then you're going to Europe and you don't tell the person anything. You know, it's a weird feeling. But I'm like, okay, this is a trip for me and I'm excited. So I'm just trying to move on from the rejection and no communication. And I feel like, okay, Sorrento is the answer. Like going to Italy, that's the answer. And I'm excited to meet my friends. You know, I haven't seen my German friends, so they're flying in. I'm meeting them in Italy, in Naples, and they're flying in from Germany. And then they'll spend a few days with me, and then I'll go to my friend's Italian wedding. And it's weird because my friend, I haven't seen her since 2005. So we worked together at a steakhouse in New York City. And I left New York to move to LA in 2005 because I was about to get married in my first marriage. And yeah, I hadn't seen her since. And we reconnected because we did a podcast together. And then we talked, you know, and then she invited me. So it's been a huge surprise, but I technically hadn't seen her since 2005. I just had to stop to look at my chocolate sourdough. So when you first put it into the oven, right, the oven's like 450 Fahrenheit. You put it in a Dutch oven or any kind of pot with a lid. And then after 25 minutes, you take off the lid and you put it back in the oven and you lower it to like 350, 360 for about another 25 minutes. So I just took off the lid and this has exploded. Like it looks amazing. So I can't wait. Again, it's just done with cocoa powder. There's no actual chocolate. But once you toast it, you can toast it and put on like really delicious jam or Nutella, or it's so good. You know, and it's not like, oh, this is a super sweet chocolate bread. It's not like that. But the smell of chocolate is there, and it's just really pleasant. It's like just a sourdough chocolate croissant, if you will, you know, but more chocolatey than a chocolate croissant. Because in a chocolate croissant, you just have that one strip of chocolate. Like, you have this giant croissant with a small strip of chocolate. Like, what the hell? At least this chocolate sourdough, the whole thing is chocolate. Okay, see, that's my mind. Okay, let's go back to the trip. When I was watching movies on the plane, I saw Bridget Jones, Mad About the Boy, on the plane. I've been wanting to watch it on, I think, Netflix or something, but it was, I don't know, $10 to rent. And I'm like, why? I just want to see this movie. Why is it $10? I watched the movie, and there were so many parts where I was just like teary-eyed. Like, why does Bridget Jones do this to me? And there was a part in the beginning where she's with her dad and her dad is sick. And he tells her, right, like everything now has meaning, right? I find meaning in so many things just because of everything that's happened. I mean, stuff is always happening in my life. It just resonates with me, like when I see certain things. And anyway, the dad is in bed in the hospital and he tells Bridget, he says, live, don't survive. And that's it, right? That's it. We're always surviving, right? We're going from one crazy situation to another. And even if we're not, we're just, it's a routine, right? We're doing the same things. And before you know it, it's been years. As I said, it's been years since I went to Europe. I mean, okay, Italy. But we're always surviving. We're just trying to get through, right? It's like when Trump got voted, we're like, okay, we'll just make it through these 4 years. Like, why? Why are we always trying to make shit through? Just like live. Live in each moment. And that's the key, right? Like, we try and take ourselves out of living in the moment to make us feel better because things are painful. Yes, they're painful, but what's the point of smoking weed all day or taking drugs? I mean, okay, temporarily, sometimes that helps, right? Sometimes we need that. But there's so many people who do this every single day and we're never present. You know, so I was thinking about that because, yes, I want to live 100%. That's the key. Be emotionally present. And as hard as it is also satisfying on the other side. When you listen to what people say, when you see what people do, when you live that way, you meet people who also want to live that way. And it's a different way of living. It's not avoiding the situation. It's not taking things to feel better. Be present with yourself. Know what it is that is important to you and what you want and where you want to be. Okay? So, yes, this is just a movie, but live, don't survive. And then maybe it's easier said than done, but it's just make a goal, right? Like, start with simple things. Start with something simple that it is that you want to do for you. Do that for 10 minutes. You know, just start. If we don't start, it's never going to happen. And it's so easy to put things off. Like, I know because I'm constantly distracted with the smallest things. I almost want to be distracted, right? Because it's easier. But you have to make these small goals to make changes. So anyway, in Bridget Jones, right, her husband, he died. And she's trying to move on, right? She's trying to just live her life, raise her kids. And then toward the end of the movie, there's someone who's interested in her. And she's kind of interested in him, you know, but he's just very positive. And she notices that. And then she says at the end, you know, we're just trying to move on. It's like when you've lost someone you love, you leave them behind. But you don't have to leave them behind because you live at the same time as what you've lost. You know, but you can be happy despite that. Even without them, you'll be okay. It resonated for me because of my mom. You know, I've lost my mom. And there's so many times I wish I could just tell her certain things, you know, the way I used to. And it's different now. You know, I don't have that person to just tell all these things. But the thing is, you can be okay despite earth-shattering events, right? Like my latest event with my ex. I mean, these are big changes, but you make a decision in your head and you follow what it is that you want to do, right? Like for the first time, I'm moving for me. I'm doing what I want to do. It doesn't mean that every day is easier. It just means that you have a goal and you're not looking back. Like, yes, there are times where I think of what's happened. I mean, all the time, I think about certain things. You know, those things don't disappear. The people that you've had in your life, they don't just disappear. They're within you, right? Those moments you've shared, they've affected you. They've maybe changed you in certain ways. But that's a part of you, and you just keep moving forward. And I think that's the most important thing. Like, you don't forget about them, right? Like sometimes I think I'm trying to forget about my ex. Like maybe it feels like it might be easier, right? If I forget about him, just move forward. But I can't, right? Those moments happened. I loved him, and I don't know if I want to forget him. I want to forget some of the not so nice moments, right? A feeling of rejection and seeing that image of him walking out and closing the door. Like, I want to forget those moments, but I just have to accept everything and realize, okay, like he was not the person for me. I move forward. And it's a different outlook. It's how you choose to deal with things, how you choose to see things. You know, it's shifting your brain, even though the negative has happened, to still see the positive. And that is hard. That is not always easy. But that is an actual change that you can make. So anyway, I finally arrived in Paris. I arrived at the Charles de Gaulle airport. And I did notice the architecture a little bit. Like when you get to certain parts of the airport, it's really pretty because it's all glass and they're glass triangles. Anyway, I found where I needed to go because it's a giant airport. So once you land internationally, I had to go to a different part, which is still international, but I guess not long distance international. I don't know. It's all international, you know, because Europe is not national. I'm flying from France to Italy. But for some reason, flying within Europe, it's a different part of the airport. Okay, like that's what I'm trying to say. It was like a 20-minute walk. And as I'm walking, like I have plenty of time, no stress. I've got like an hour and a half. So I'm looking at the airport, taking my time. I see La Dorée, which is this famous French macaron store in Paris. They're also at the airport. So I'm like, okay, like I should get some French macarons. Yes, like that is what I should do. I got Earl Grey, pistachio, rose, like my favorite flavors. And that was my breakfast. That's my breakfast. Because technically, it was the next day in the US. You know, so we flew nighttime on the plane. They turn off the lights, like they kind of make you sleep, even though I couldn't. Right? So I'm in Paris at the airport and I'm all kind of messed up because I haven't really slept. I've just been sitting in this tiny seat, super uncomfortable. I'm like, okay, this is my breakfast, French macaron. Even though there it's like 2 p.m., you know, it's already almost halfway through the day. I'm at the airport, go to the terminal for Naples. And it's like every time I go to Europe, I forget. Like it's just smaller. Like things are just smaller. You know, the gates are smaller. There's less seats, but more people. So it's kind of more cramped and people are just waiting. Have you noticed that people just don't wait in line anymore? Like everyone just huddles around. There's no more lines. There's no more like civil things that happen. Okay, so we're starting to board and there's no zones. Like no one cares about zones. Everyone's just huddling and we're just trying to get on the plane. I'm like, great. But on my flight from LAX, there was this big family and they were all flying together, maybe 6-7 people. They just had a ton of bags and they weren't checking them. They were all on the plane. Anyway, they were very loud. They were kind of annoying. So the same family is on the plane to Naples. And I'm like, great. Like this, you know, this is always what happens. Anytime something annoys me, I'm going to have to deal with it later. Like, that's just how life is, right? Okay, now I'm seeing more Italian people because we're going to Naples. There's this one guy, like, guess how I know that he's Italian? He's in Gucci from head to toe. Like, Gucci jacket, Gucci t-shirt, Gucci sneakers, Gucci pants. Like, why? Why? Do you just wake up and be like, oh, I'm going to have a Gucci day? Like, wear everything Gucci. Like, what? So anyway, I'm like, oh, he's Italian. And of course, he sits in my row. Whenever I judge someone or criticize them, they're like next to me. So now, okay, we're flying over the French Alps. I see all these mountains with snow on it. And then we get to Switzerland. I see the Swiss mountains. I even see parts that I went to. Like, I recognize because there weren't clouds. I could see everything. And then I see this city, and it's Naples, and there's the ocean, and we're flying into Naples, and it's just packed, like sand-looking houses. Like everything is a certain color. It's like oranges and yellows. I'm like, oh, it's Naples, you know? And it's just packed. So we land, and then I get a message from my friend. So I didn't have Wi-Fi, but I had it in the airport. So I had to figure out where I was going, and I had to message my friends because they were meeting me at the train station. So they were telling me how to get there. I did map it, like, beforehand. I just had to know exactly what was going on because once I left the airport, I didn't have Wi-Fi. Okay, like, this is my decision. I could have gotten a SIM card, but I didn't, okay? I'm like, it'll be fine. I was in line to get this bus ticket, and then my credit cards weren't working, and there were all these people behind me. So thank goodness I had changed some money beforehand, and I used like 5 euros to get on this bus. But then I get where the bus stop is, and I almost went into this other bus, which wasn't the bus I had to go in. But they're like, no, it's not this one. So they point me into the direction of the bus stop. So many people, like everybody wants to get on this bus. It took like 20 minutes, and my friends are waiting for me. But my bag took forever because I checked it, right? So that was number one. I get my bag, and then the bus takes forever. So anyway, we were trying to make the train because we had to go to Sorrento. The train leaves every hour, but I totally missed it for that hour because everything just took forever. Anyway, they figured we would get the next bus. So I finally get on the bus. There's like one long line. And I got my ticket beforehand, but other people did not, which was annoying because then it took longer to get on. Okay, I finally get on the bus. The train station is not far, but I don't know where the hell I am, you know? And it's nighttime now. It's like, I don't know, 6, 7 p.m., something like that, 7. So I finally get outside the train station. I see my friends, and it's so good to see them, right? Like, I haven't seen them, and it's been 5 years. The last time when I was in Switzerland and I saw them was already 5 years. And that's crazy to me. But it makes sense, okay? Because in that 5 years, I've worked in Switzerland, I've lived in New York, I've worked and lived in Aspen, I've lived in San Diego, and now I'm in LA. Like, that's a lot, right? So 5 years makes sense. And it was during COVID. I see my friends, super excited. They already got me a ticket for the train, and we're going. Like, we get on the train to Sorrento. And I'm going to leave it there because I've recorded so much more and it's impossible. And I know I've barely gotten into my trip because I constantly have these wise things I need to say. I do want to end it, right? I want to end this episode. I will continue with the trip, but I want to end it with telling you something that happened today at work. It was not good and I need to talk about it. So... Okay, so work is crazy, as usual. I was off yesterday. I go into work today. You know, I make crème anglaise. Like, we build a whole list. I assign everybody, you know, what they're going to do. And then we make these large frames of cakes, right? And you have to make usually about 8 to 10 frames of a whole cake. They have, like, 6 to 7 layers each cake. So you don't just make one cake, you make 8 different frames or 10 different frames, depending on how many sponges you have, right? So if you have 30 sponges, you can make 10 frames because each frame has 3 sponges along with different mousses, ganache, etc. So I guess the person started this cake, but they didn't count the sponges. They just assumed they had 30. When they didn't, they had 24. So 4 cakes were missing 1 layer of sponge, so I couldn't finish them. There were 8 frames left. I finished 4 frames with a mousse topped with a sponge. There were 4 more frames left. So then I said, I'm going to put them into the freezer. Like, we couldn't finish them that day because we didn't have any more sponges, and there's no time to just make 3 sponges. Like, there's no time. So I put everything in the freezer, like 4 sheet trays, no problem. Like 1 sheet tray, 2 sheet tray. And I'm like walking around with them. They're not light. Okay. So I put the 4th one in, and it's in the freezer. It's a large walk-in freezer, and it has different cabinets in the freezer for different desserts. So I put these frames, you know, these cakes, into the cabinet. I put the last one in, and somehow I'm sliding it in, but it doesn't hook, or I don't even know what happened, but the cabinet isn't hooking what I put in. So guess what? It falls. It falls inside the cabinet, face down first, and the whole frame comes off the sheet tray, and it was a disaster. Like, never have I done that. Never have I just dropped a cake. And the thing is, I didn't technically drop it. I thought the cabinet had it, but I wasn't extra careful in putting it in. I thought I was. I didn't know this could happen. Okay, so now it's all in the cabinet. Like, the cake is trash. It's trash. I'm like, damn it. Like, this is so bad. Again, these are unfinished cakes. I cannot finish them that day. So they have to be finished another time. I didn't tell anybody that I dropped this cake. All right? I'm like, I can't tell anybody. I can't tell anybody that I dropped this cake. So I quickly put it all in a sheet tray, like, you know, just a pile. I just take this pile and I pile it onto the sheet tray. But the thing is, the cabinet is in the freezer, so everything is cold, so now it's sticking to the inside of the cabinet. So now I have to run out, I get a scraper, and I have to scrape off what is frozen from the cake that I dropped in the cabinet. So everybody's busy. Like, that's how crazy it is, that everyone's just busy all the time. They don't notice that I bring out this sheet tray with a pile of cake on it. It's terrible, all right? I did put parchment over it because I didn't want it to be obvious. I had to find an empty trash can because all the trash cans were, like, full because it's almost the end of the shift. I found a trash can. I put it in there, and it was terrible. Like, I just had to talk about it because it was a nightmare, and I didn't mention it to anybody because this has never happened before. So that's it. That's what I want to end it on. Nothing wise, just me confessing my nightmare. So yes, I hope nobody notices. I mean, it's a full, large sheet tray, you know, and maybe I should do the right thing and be like, it dropped, it fell, it's trash, you know, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't tell anybody because all that work that went into it, and the product, I know accidents happen and I know these things happen, but usually it's not me that they happen to. So that's it. Okay, this is part one. I'm going to end it here and continue on next time. So thank you so much for listening to Kat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. Until next time, we will continue this adventure.